Hello, fellow Tokelorists.
Time for another Tokelore Show and Tell,
where we find folklore in the everyday things,
helping us see how we are all connected,
exposing the folklore within.
So, you may have gotten an idea of some of our passions from previous episodes. I believe we did an entire Doctor Who episode for Christmas this year.
You believe? I know we did.
Okay, good.
So, I'll ask you this now, and then I'll ask you it again at the end.
Okay.
How do you think the Whovian fandom is folklore, and what do you think this fandom can teach us?
That's two questions.
Sorry.
And I've already forgotten the first one.
How is the Whovian fandom folklore?
I think why it is folklore, and in its own way, a study of folklore, is ever since the beginning of the inception of the show, they don't just travel around in outer space. They go back in time. So they visit different points in history in different parts of the world. They go a little bit sideways too, though. And so they'll visit other times in other dimensions.
Like parallel dimensions?
They don't get into that quite as much until, I think, the later seasons. But overall, they go around, they experience life in parts of the world where they wouldn't have otherwise. Like, there's an episode where they go to Italy and they are there for the eruption of Vesuvius on Pompeii. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, on the island there, they're right up until the moment before the volcano goes.
Mm.
Then, and things like that, where they will witness historic moments in history and kind of experience it, get exposed to the people of that time. And it's very eye-opening and usually ends up having some sort of shenanigans ensue as well that gives them a chance to sort of learn their lesson about why these people think or do things differently than they do. And it's just a perpetual lesson in learning to see the world through someone else's eyes, which I think is a big part of what we do as folklorists. I think the Doctor is a sci-fi version of, like, the ultimate folklorist in some ways.
Yeah.
Going around experiencing and gathering the stories of humans. There's even an episode which I thought was really neat. It's in the season with the ninth Doctor, I think, was Christopher Eccleston, where he takes Rose Tyler into the future, where she gets to see the death of Earth. The sun is going to blow up, and the Earth is going to be eradicated. And so they're on this special viewing vessel. People have paid good money to come experience this once-in-a-lifetime event kind of a thing. And a lot of other weird shenanigans ensue that kind of set up storylines for future episodes of future seasons and et cetera, et cetera. And they introduce some really interesting characters. And at this point, humans are all but extinct. I mean, they aren't extinct, but there are very few left. And one of the alien creatures on the vessel actually claims to be the last living human. She's just this sheet of skin stretched on a frame with a face. She's had so much work done, there's nothing left.
Why do I feel like I might have seen this?
I might have made you watch some of it if you've watched the first couple of episodes with me.
Well, we're talking about the show. Let's talk about the fandom of the show.
The fandom is an interesting one because it spans multiple generations. It's probably one of the oldest running. It's been around longer than Star Trek. It's probably a decade older. I think its first episodes aired in like 62 or 64, something like that. It was definitely in the 60s when it started. Their first few seasons were all in black and white. And at that point, they hadn't really like settled in on the lore like where we are now. And this became sort of a real pop culture classic in Britain. I think that it was always sort of a popular thing, especially in the 70s and 80s when it was really sort of taking off. It was quirky, it was weird, off the beaten path. It was nothing like the other sci-fi shows that were happening at the time. Then it took a big long hiatus. And so when it came back, it was rebranded to appeal to a new audience, but it's always contained the same sort of basic human instinct of wanting connection and wanting somewhere to belong. And the more that the show has evolved, the more it has created a space in the fandom for all people of all kinds, all creeds, all colors, shapes, sizes, every, you name it. I mean, it's very inclusive and is becoming more and more so, and really sort of exploring how much it can open that up and make sure to give a voice to all peoples.
So as a fan yourself, mm-hmm. is that what drew you to Doctor Who?
What initially drew me to it was my love of adventures and the real fantasy element that is in these sci-fi shows. The thing that kept me there was the people, the connection, the belonging. They all had stories that were usually about getting lost, being found, and overcoming very different odds. The formula is very basic. It's there. It's always kind of the same basic formula, but they do a really good job of just revisiting it over and over again, and the importance of understanding human connection. And I think that's what keeps me. I mean, I didn't finish the seasons with Peter Capaldi. I haven't seen any of the new ones with Jodie Picoult, I think is her name. I don't remember.
Sorry, I don't know it either.
Yeah, and she's done now. Like, they're getting ready to transition to a new doctor. Like, you know, so just the fact that they've decided to be like, you know what? If the doctor transforms into a different... And even that in and of itself wasn't necessarily, like, an intentional thing at first. The original doctor just got really old and couldn't continue to play the part. So they cast someone else. And it happened multiple times, and they didn't really spend a lot of time explaining that. It just happened, and they just moved on.
So who got you into Doctor Who?
I believe it was my friend Tara Wybrew. She's the executive director for Oregon Contemporary Theater.
How did she induct you into this fandom?
Oh, we used to... She also got me involved in the SCA, the Society for Creative Anachronism. I was involved with that for a while. And there were a couple of summers where I worked with her at a retail booth at Ren Fairs. We'd go to like Gig Harbor. We went to there's one in Washington that's 3 weekends long. It was a lot of fun. We drive up and spend the whole weekend there, 3 weekends in a row.
Oh my goodness.
And we just sleep inside the tent.
So is this when she got you into it?
Yeah. We nerded out about all kinds of stuff. Like, she introduced me to the SCA, and then we would talk about TV shows and things that we, you know, we met in the theater world. And turns out a lot of people that are involved in theater really love Doctor Who.
Interesting.
They just get really into it.
Why do you think that is?
I'm assuming it likely is a similar reason to why I'm connected to it. People that get involved in the theater really love telling stories, and whether it's their story or someone else's story, if it's a good story and it's told well, it's just very it's hard to resist.
So long story short, the Whovian fandom in general is a collection of people from all over the world, all ages, because it spans many generations, the show itself, and it inspires people who I'm assuming most likely feel a little bit like an outsider and a little lost. And I noticed the show with the companions, it seems like it represents how people throughout their lives create their family, choose their family. And you have the one that you were born into, and then you have the one that you choose.
Yeah.
And it seems to me, it sounds like this fandom, they gravitate towards that, and it helps them create their own family as well.
Yes, and I think that there's something to be said for this particular fandom. People feel safe with each other. If you're a fellow Whovian, usually it's pretty safe to assume that that you have some, you have enough in common that you're not going to feel threatened or have to worry about. When you're so used to feeling like an outsider, it's nice to be part of something where you know you're going to find other like, I wouldn't just say like-minded, because it's really amazing the different types of minds that are drawn to it. But I think that it is like, dang it. I'm struggling with the vocabulary for this one, but it is a similar sense of self, if that makes sense. If the word comes to me, I'll just blurt it out and we can copy paste it over from wherever it ends up getting blurted out. But do you understand what I'm trying to get
I think at? So. The same mindset when it comes to the feel, how you feel within your own society, like your mother folk group, your mother culture, as it were.
I think the thing that it's like values, not just like mind, because I feel like the thing that I love most about Whovians in general is that I can always learn something new from them. Like, I feel like there's a place for me to belong there, but there is also something new for me to learn about life and the world around me. And it's a safe place to learn it. And so I feel like that piece, or that, at least from my observation and my experience.
I think most people could agree that that's something that they desire out of life, is to find a place,
safe place to belong.
Where they feel like they belong, and two, where there's still so much more to learn. There's depth to this group, this family that you've chosen for yourself. So the last question would be, what can it teach us? And I think we've already kind of answered that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the thing that it teaches us is how to constantly put yourself in someone else's shoes. I think it's really important. And I think my favorite thing about the doctor is that he regularly tries to find ways to solve things without violence. And the best way to do that is to put yourself in someone else's shoes. And a lot of times when you understand where the conflict is happening and why there is conflict, it allows you to be able to be more creative about finding a resolution. Granted, there is violence. I mean, there are alien creatures out there that are hell-bent on annihilation, that he is...
The Daleks,
the Cybermen. Granted, the Cybermen are like this true neutral sort of bent on the best way to save the human race is to assimilate all of humankind to Cybermen. But they don't just think that way about humans. They think that way about everything. They are the Borg.
That's what I was saying. It sounds like the Borg, except the Borg, it's much more primitive.
Really quite cute, because the Cybermen have been around forever. And when you see them, you're just like, oh my God, they're so clunky and cheesy looking. But they still manage to make them very terrifying. They do a really good job of, villains aren't just villains. There's a reason they are the way they are. And they definitely take some time to dig deep into that. So again, they're always forcing you to try to look at the world through someone else's eyes. And it's really an important thing that we should all learn to do.
Okay. I think we've captured our Whovian fandom.
This has been Toklore Show and Tell.
And we want to hear your stories.
Please share a piece of your Toklore with us.
Send us a message on Instagram at toklore.podcast.
Or email us at toklorepod@gmail.com.
Be sure to tune into our next episode about Hecate on March 8th. Thanks for listening.